We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, USA!
Yo, 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 yo.
Charlemagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday!
Yes, it's Friday. Good morning.
Yeah, man. And it's just us this morning. We were supposed to have some special guest hosts this morning.
Yeah.
Our good brothers Wallow and Gilly.
Yes.
Wallow and Gilly from Philadelphia was supposed to be here this morning, but we woke up to some tragic news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we'll break down in the rumor report.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad, but it's Friday. How you feeling this morning? How was your drive in? I know there was some construction, which made me make lefts and rights and try to go all the way. Around three blocks to get here.
Well, I think we should tell people at least what happened to Wallow and Gilly before they, before they think something else.
No, we gotta explain the full story, and I don't have all the details, and I don't want to.
They had a tragic loss in it.
Had a tragic loss in it.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Well,
there was. I didn't see no construction. There was construction where.
You drove right up the block. When I dropped the block was closed.
Well, I saw the construction, so I went the other way. You drove down the block?
I was listening to music, vibing out.
You're crazy.
And I wasn't even paying attention until I got to the construction.
Right. That's right.
And then by that point, it was too late. And then,
I saw that two blocks away because I saw all the blue lights. I was like, okay, something ain't right. So clearly, I made a left. And there was cars backing up. So that told me all I needed to know not to go down that road.
I blame
you. You're the type of person that see the trouble ahead and still, you know what? You are that type of person. See, that's the difference. I saw it coming two blocks away, and I was like, nope, I'm going to make it to left.
I blame it on Mary J. Blige.
I listen to Mary J. Blige every morning. Don't blame that on Mary.
I was listening to Mary. I was in my zone. I was vibing. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, I seen traffic. I said, what the hell? Traffic at 4 and 5 in the morning.
You wasn't paying attention.
You right.
You was not paying attention.
When you right, you right.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Of course, we got front page news with Tesla and Figaro coming up. And then we have a world premiere we're about to get into. This is Travis Scott.
How is it a world premiere when it's already online?
Bad Bunny.
Services.
The Weeknd.
We got to change this language in radio,
because people are just getting up right now, and it's a
world
song.
Premiere for radio's premiering it?
Yes. We're on radio.
Because it's online. It's on title.
You just want to ruin everything.
It's just silly. We got to update our language. That's the problem.
All right. So what should we say?
Just that we're playing a new record from Travis Scott. From your playlist to our radio.
But you can't say new record because nobody does records anymore.
Well, from new song. Okay, from your playlist to our radio. From your streaming service to our radio station. Something.
How long is it? Is it 2 minutes?
Jesus Christ.
It's a short song, so you got to call it like a snippet now or something.
People not stupid, like world premiere. It's like,
well, it's a new song, damn it. Travis Scott, Bad Bunny, The Weeknd. It's called K-Pop. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Right. From your playlist to your radio station, new music from Travis Scott featuring Bad Bunny and The Weeknd, K-Pop.
I didn't like that.
I loved it.
That sounded too commercial.
That's the point. That's radio. From your playlist to your radio station. Saying world premiere sounds insane when it's already on all the streaming services.
I don't know if I like that. But anyway, good morning. We are The Breakfast Club. That was new music. Travis Scott, Bad Bunny, The Weeknd. Now let's get in some front page news. All right, now let's talk about this Florida Board of Education. What they doing now?
Once again, a Florida Board of Education is back at it again. They have approved a new set of standards for how Black history should be taught in the state's public schools, sparking criticism from education leaders, the teachers' union, and civil rights advocates who said students should be allowed to learn the full truth of American history. Now, the new standards require instruction for middle school students to include, listen very closely, they want to include how slaves develop skills in which some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. Now, Florida Department of Education, yes, Florida Department of Education said in a statement, we are proud of the process that the department took to develop these standards. And any attempt to reduce slaves to just victims of oppression fails to recognize their strength and courage during a difficult time. They say that Florida students deserve to know how slaves took advantage of the circumstances they were in to benefit themselves. Now, Andrew Spahr, the president of the Florida Education Association, disagrees. Take a listen to what both him and Vice President Harris had to say.
There's that old adage, if we don't learn from history, we're destined to repeat it. So if you are selecting what you can and can't learn in our schools, as the governor is doing right now for his own political ambitions, then kids are missing out on that education they deserve and need. If they don't learn about how slavery really came about in this country and how there were attempts to continue slavery even after the Emancipation Proclamation, if they don't learn about how there was separate and unequal in our schools, which Brown versus the Board of Education reversed and changed, and how states like Florida and other states fought against desegregation, then we're destined to repeat that.
Just yesterday in the state of Florida, they decided middle school students will be taught that enslaved people benefited from slavery. They insult us in an attempt to gaslight us, and we will not stand for it.
What I don't understand is they didn't like the old standards because they said what was being taught about American history wasn't true. Well, these new standards they created definitely aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And they taking credit for the scrimp and methods of survival that, the enslaved learned based off a matter of circumstance. Like, nobody taught us that. That was a matter of necessity. We had no choice.
Yeah, but, right. We all hate all of it, but what's the solution? What do we have to do as people to make sure that that doesn't happen?
Well, this is why you have to self-educate your kids. I mean, you know, as far as the legislation, yeah, you can push back against that, but I never, you know, looked for any of these schools and institutions to teach my beautiful Black daughters what they actually should know. Same thing with us. Like, you know, I'd learned so much about Black history by, you know, doing my own reading at home. But I never learned any of that in school.
Yeah, but is this now where we hopefully put our arms around the church and try to get more people in the church and do classes after maybe church?
Like on
a, I'm just saying because that's where a huge place where Black people and Black families go to.
How about your home?
Well, besides the home, a lot of people don't know the education.
Right, and a lot of people don't know how to teach. A lot of people don't know how to do that.
You can't go get the autobiography of Malcolm X. You can't go get Message to the Black
it
Man.
It sounds
by
easy,
Muhammad.
But a lot
you can't
of people,
go get the Miseducation of the Negro.
But a lot of people are working so hard and they don't have time to do anything. They don't have
read.
Time.
That's right, DJ. Yes. Everybody doesn't have time to do that.
Everybody don't have the opportunity.
Some of these kids live in shelters, guys. So everybody is not in a home. You know, the public school system is not made up of people that have
Let's send the books that they need to these shelters. Why are y'all acting like these kids can't get access to books?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. What is the solution? Is it sending books to the shelter? Is it making sure
the
churches
are not going
to
do
churches are doing classes to teach these students.
And it's crazy how y'all always reduce Black people to the lowest possible.
No, we're not reducing.
Yes, y'all are. This is how y'all went to the shelters.
No, hold on one second. No, that's not. That's ridiculous. It's not reducing to the lowest. That is just one solution. First solution is school board members are elected. So that's first things first. This is why it's important that local and state elections matter. We spend a lot of time talking about federal, but people need to really get involved and make sure they have the person that they want actually representing them. Secondly, no, Charlamagne, of course we teach self-taught, but there's some people that didn't start reading books and didn't start getting engaged until their 30s and 40s. So when we talk about the collective and overall and how do we take care of children that may not have parents, parents that may be struggling, parents that work a lot, that just may not know how to teach their children.
We saw one parent household that where a mother or father's right. working 2-3 jobs, and when they come home, they don't have time to teach or don't have time to read or don't have time for it. My whole thing is, well, what's the solution? How do we make sure that all these students out here understand history? How do we make sure that parents understand the history?
Well, it starts right. by encouraging people to read. That's number one. Okay, and I don't know about y'all, but no matter how poor we were growing up in a single wide trailer in Moss Corner, South Carolina, my father and my mother was always putting a book in my face. It was some form of
right.
literature
that but
was
being put
in my face. Your mother was a teacher, though.
Absolutely.
Right. Was a teacher, so it's a lot different.
But I had OGs around me, too. I had OGs around me who were always encouraging me to read. We should
okay,
always,
but
we should
you're
always encourage
though.
Our people to educate themselves.
We are encouraging
reading
that,
is,
but
reading
can, we,
is
can
free.
It, can, like, it be on, one, can it be more than one answer, though?
Of
can
course it
not just
it is,
be,
but don't dismiss okay. that kids can get access to books.
Nobody's dismissing kids can't get access to books. I'm asking what's the solution. We talk about the problems all the time, but what's the solution? How do we help? How do we make sure that a community of people can help and can teach? Because a lot of our education, a lot of our history, I didn't learn until
Absolutely.
I was a lot older. So
Absolutely.
If I didn't learn it when I was a lot older, when I mean a lot older, I was in my 30s and started learning a lot about education. And
right.
I went to a HBCU. So the fact that a lot of these people, a lot of these parents won't have the time and opportunity to. So as a community, how do we make sure that these kids have
that
knowledge?
Now that we know better, we do better. But there's never been a time where, you know, I don't care how poor we were growing up, somebody was giving me a piece of literature. They were
right.
always
well,
telling us to educate ourselves. We was educating ourselves through music. You had a rapper was telling us to read certain books and certain literature
right.
when we was young.
Yeah, but then we could talk about mental health. Why some people really didn't understand mental health until 30, 40 years old, or even with financial literacy. A lot of people don't know about financial literacy, don't know about investing, don't know about accounting, don't know about any of that stuff. And a lot of people
Absolutely.
Get that knowledge from school, but that's things that we can't be self-taught because we didn't know it. We don't understand it.
But now we're
figuring how that we can teach. But
sure.
a lot of people don't know the books that you're talking about, so we have to give
that's
them knowledge on
them
books.
Out. That's why we talk about them. That's why we reference
but that
them.
Right,
is the
but
solution.
It's more than... Right, but exactly. So, DJ Envy, to answer your question, I hope that programs are actually created. So, for example, I did a whole podcast about it where the NAACP was discouraging people to come to Florida, and I was saying I wish they would spend time on developing an actual program to supplement what they're taking out of the school system. So, you're right, DJ. It actually requires a
y'all
program.
Y'all have the book it program in school?
Right. They got the book program now. Does that mean that the literacy
program? Oh, no, the literacy rate is terrible in black and brown
Right, so that's to the point of saying it's not that people are not encouraging people to read. It's not that people are not giving people books. The bottom line is, how do we get them to do it? And what DJ Envy is saying, how can we develop programs to be able to say, hey, this is what we want our children to know. I want another point. I want to point something else out here. Elementary school teachers, the elementary students, they're being taught just to recognize who Rosa Parks is and Zell Hurston. They're not even being taught what they did in history. They just want to recognize just their photo. So this is a real issue.
And that goes
that's
back to my original point about how we have to self-educate our children at home.
Right.
I've never looked at any of these white institutions to teach my kids about black history. I've never
right.
depended
but,
on that. Ever.
But that's great. Well, we have to take care of the collective that don't have the parents that think the way that you do, and you've been blessed. But everybody doesn't have that opportunity, Charlamagne.
I learned that way. I didn't teach before. I was teaching my kids that people were putting that in me. That's something that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Elijah Muhammad, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, any great black leader we can name, Marcus Garvey was telling us to self-educate our kids.
Right.
All
you
right,
were blessed.
Well, that is front page news. Get it off
Ooh,
your
that was
chest.
Spicy.
800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's a Friday, guys. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's a new day.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Wake up.
Whether you're mad or blessed.
It's time to get up and get something.
Call up now. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
It's off from Atlanta.
Hey, what's up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, I got something to get off my chest. You know, I normally be rocking with Charlamagne, so he's been really enlightened over his, but I feel like this incident, these are his you know, personal experience and personal, you know, the things that he had growing up, and trying to generalize everybody as a whole. Like, everybody don't have, you know, the parents that put books in, and everybody ain't got OD. Everybody ain't got the same situations. Like, yeah, they got books, but a lot of them can't read. And it ain't even a matter of, you know, well, they got this and they got that. You know, we can put it in their hands. We got to self-teach. If they don't have the people around them that was self-taught or got the knowledge to self-teach, how can they pass it on to the next kid? Well, so it's not a matter of saying, you know, we making an excuse for them, or we trying to, you know, reduce them to the lowest standard. This is the reality of the situation. And the reality of learning more because they don't know themselves.
Well, that's two different conversations. Talking about the low literacy rates and talking about people not being able to read as being able to have access to books is two different things. We were talking about that access. We were talking about the access to books.
But nobody is pushing them to get to the books because those people don't have...
Yeah, but let me ask you...
You know, you got people who never started reading until they was my age.
Well, let me ask
I'm 40
you,
years old.
Well, let me ask you one other question, right? You say that I'm generalizing based off my experience. Aren't you generalizing based off your experiences, too?
No, I'm not generalizing. I'm saying as a whole. There's reality of people. There's people that have the access, and there's people that don't have the access.
But, that's
but I don't think you should just put everybody together and say, you know, because you know that they have the access, that... they're wrong because they're not pushing their kids to do it.
Listen, you're absolutely right, but we're still having two different conversations. I'm talking about the access to books. Everybody has access to books. We can give them the books. Now, when you talk about low literacy rates, that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, people have access to books, but you have to be encouraged to want to read books. And that's the problem. A lot of times we don't encourage to read books. Yeah, we had all those Book It programs and all those different programs, but as a kid, I never wanted to read a book. I never wanted to. I'd rather be playing sports. I was playing basketball and baseball and swimming. And there was really, my mother encouraged me, but I didn't want to do it. I would rather be outside. Some kids have more encouragement and was able
to
read
that, you gotta
able
have
to
your
get the knowledge.
Huh? Even with that, you got to have your grades up. I could never play sports because my grades was messed up. So even with that, you still got to push education is what I'm saying. Even if you still want to play sports in school, you still got to push education.
And we had education. We were in school.
You just said we didn't.
No, I passed classes, and that was able for me to do things. But I wasn't a reader at that age. I read more when I got older. But when I was a young kid, I did not want to read. I'd rather be outside with the sports. And the only time I honestly read was, you know, in the summertime when you had to read to do them book reports. I was that kid that I only read when I had to.
But you knew how to read.
Yeah, people.
See, that, that's what I'm saying.
But what brother called about just now,
the whole other conversation.
But you got to encourage me. So, like, the difference between us and them is when I was a kid listening to radio, there was nobody on the radio saying, hey, you guys should read that. Where somebody can call up here and you can say, you know what, read this book.
That's not true either,
man.
Tom Joyner was one of the biggest pushers of HBCUs.
Mine was Ed Lover and Dr. Dre in New York.
That's you, but Tom Joyner was a national
syndicated. I'm just telling you how I grew up.
It was,
what's up, y'all? What you got to say? Who's on the line with Ed Lee and Dre? It was totally different.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Gilly Tha Kid.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on the Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Right. Now, for everybody out there that doesn't know, Gilly and Wallow were actually supposed to co-host this morning with us.
Yep, they're supposed to be here this morning.
To talk about everything that they got going on, and of course, Gilly Fest. But
next weekend, yep.
Last night, we got a call that Gilly's son was killed in a triple shooting in Philadelphia.
News out of Olney, police are investigating a triple shooting that left one man dead and two others hospitalized. Let's get to Shane at police headquarters with the latest on this investigation.
Right now, those identities of those victims have not been officially released by police, but we are aware of conversation, especially in the community, from local and prominent Philly community members who say that one of the victims that was killed in this triple shooting may be the son of a popular Philly rapper. So stand by for that. We're waiting on official confirmation there, but let's get right to the scene in the video, because this happened last night, just about 8:30, in the section of Olney, the corner of Basher and Nedro Street, I should say, just before 8:30. Several calls came in. Police arrived to find two victims about a block away suffering from gunshot wounds. Investigators tell us a 25-year-old man was shot in the back, rushed to Einstein Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead.
First of all, condolences to, you know, Gilly. and his family.
Yes.
And, you know, what hurts so much about this situation, as much as Wallow and Gilly do for the community of Philadelphia, as much as they pour into these young brothers and try to scare them away from, you know, killing each other and gun violence, to have his son be a victim of gun violence is tragic and a reminder that life is indeed not fair in no way, shape, or form.
Not fair and too short. Wallow posted last night, "Lil Cuz, usually when I talk to you, I got a lot to tell you. Tonight the pain in my heart and tears spoke to you. I love you beyond life, Cheese. I got your father. Rest well."
And we've said a million times, you know, you hear it all the time, parents aren't supposed to be burying their children.
No.
I've been alive for 45 years. That's all I've ever seen is parents burying their kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick of seeing parents burying their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something that I just will never have an answer for, and I don't know what the solution is.
No. It's just very sad, man. Like you said, I could never imagine. So, you know, just pray for Gilly and his family. Pray for any all of the victims. And it's just a very sad thing. And
25 years old.
And that young man was 25 years old. He had a lot of life to live, and it was taken away from him last night in Philadelphia. Very sad.
And like I said, as much as Wallow and Gilly do for the community,
mm-hmm.
of Philadelphia, like, those are the two brothers who are always being the OGs out here, putting their arms around the young boys, telling the young boys, you know, put the guns down, telling the young boys, you know,
there's more to life.
There's more to life.
There's stupidity.
Know, go out here, do the work on yourself so you don't project that pain and that hurt on the other people. And something like that happens to his son, man. Like, Lord have mercy. Pray for I really prayed for Gilly this morning. Like, for real, for real. When I woke up this morning and heard that news, I immediately started praying for, you know, Gilly and his family.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
Salute to Gilly and Wallow, man. I love y'all brothers, man. Mm. I really do. I love y'all. I value y'all. And I appreciate y'all. And I tell them that all the time.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we got front page news. And then we got a new Travis Scott joint we're about to play in a second, too. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club on BET.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum large size condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum large size condoms.
WWPR FMHD1 New York.
An iHeartRadio station.
Hey everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now let's get in some front page news. Tezlyn Figaro is here. Good morning, Tez.
Yeah, good morning. Happy Friday, DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God.
Yes. Yeah, and let's jump right into it. Former Northwestern football players announced lawsuits over alleged hazing. Let's discuss that.
Yeah, more than 15 former Northwestern University football players have joined a planned lawsuit against the university about alleged hazing in the school's program. The athletes detailed the painful emotional, physical, and sometimes sexual allegations against Northwestern football. 26-year-old Lloyd Yates, who was a quarterback and wide receiver from 2015 to 2017, said that physical, emotional, and sexual abuse was normalized. I want you to take a listen on some of the claims that the players experienced, and I'll give you a little bit more information on the other side.
It is apparent to us that it is a toxic culture that was rampant in the athletic department at Northwestern University. I mean, you had people holding them down, dry humping them. You had them being forced to participate in activities involving nudity and the touching of one another.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that was Attorney Benjamin Crump, who is working with these players, and wanted to just give a point, you know, because there was a whistleblower that made this public. And so once the whistleblower came forward, everybody, you know, kind of joined in. Lloyd Yates and particularly has received a lot of blowback from folks, you know, saying you shouldn't be speaking up. You know, he actually, from my understanding, is a legacy student. And for those that don't know, it means, you know, he comes from a family that went to Northwestern. And so folks are really, you know, coming down on him about, you know, speaking up and how he shouldn't speak up. He said that the culture was so strong that they had to go along with it in order to survive being able to play. He said that if you spoke up, it could have affected time on the field, and that the coaches were aware of the behavior.
Has the university made a statement?
Yeah, they did. Actually, Charlamagne, they said that they cannot comment on pending litigation, but did issue a statement saying that the university is working to ensure we have in place appropriate accountability for our athletic department.
I mean, I think it's crazy because all these schools, I ain't gonna say all these schools, but a majority of schools have a lot of hazing, especially when you're joining these athletic teams or if you're trying to join a sorority or fraternity. But it's just, you know, how much involvement does the school have? You know what I mean? Because a lot of these are players passed on through players passed on that they think is quote-unquote tradition. So I wonder how much, you know, how much does the school actually know when it comes to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, in this particular case, they said that the coach absolutely knew and would just, you know, kind of let it slide like a lot of schools do until, you know, they get caught and somebody speaks up. I just thought this story was just interesting because you hear a lot about women with sexual assault. And so I thought this was, you know, really important to bring to everybody's attention that it does happen to men as well, even in fields like, you know, football, you know, that you would assume, you know, may not encounter those things with young men. So let's just keep an eye on that story and make sure we, you know, continue to pay close attention to those things.
I've been dry humped up here. What does that mean for me?
Are you crazy?
No. If you hung, you can hit.
Well, he also said showing pictures of nudity.
That ain't never happened.
Bro, you gave me an ass with testicles.
That wasn't a picture. Okay. That was not a picture.
All right. Well, let's talk about America's heat crisis.
Yeah, I want to bring this attention. You know, we talked a little bit about this earlier this week with the extreme heat and climate change is real. I want to just bump this up quickly that they said this summer it has become America's new reality, brutal reality. But local, state, and federal aid programs and infrastructure, they're trying to help people cool that don't have air conditioning. So the National Energy Assistant Directors Association, which represents state energy assistance programs for low-income Americans, said that there is no national plan to help lower-income families to transition to higher temperatures. The solutions they have are based on the shorter heat waves, and as the temperature continues to rise, they don't have any solutions, basically. So bottom line, they said that public policy has not caught up. A lot of folks out there don't have the cooling necessary that they need, and so they're asking that more funding be put into those programs in order to make sure that people survive this heat. So just another example that climate change is real, and this, you know, this rise in heat is affecting many people across the country.
Climate change is definitely real, and you know, this is what happens. You know, you can say this is a poor problem all you want, but power outages can happen anywhere during a heat wave for a number of reasons.
Absolutely.
And the most obvious is because the power grids can get knocked out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody turning up their air conditioners at the same time can cause the power grid and cause the power to go out. And what kind of world are we going to live in if you got to be in 115 degree heat and ain't no AC?
Yeah.
You already know people don't know how to act when it's hot.
Well, you know, not only that, you got to think about it like this. You know, with the heat rate or rising like that, that means power bill and electric bills are going to rise.
That's right.
A lot of people ain't going to be able to afford it because it's super duper expensive. And the way electric bills and power bills look now, I mean, it's getting
That's
ridiculous.
Right. So you can keep acting like, you know, these problems won't impact you if you, you know, got money or if you well off. You out of your damn mind. Mm-hmm. We dealing with Mother Nature here, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Nature don't care how much money you got.
Not at all. Right. All right. Well, that is your front page news. Thank you, Teslin, and you have a great week in TES.
And make sure you subscribe to the Straight Shot No Chaser podcast on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network and follow Teslin Figaro on all social media platforms. And she will be discussing all of the things that we talked about this week in depth on her podcast.
All right.
And we're about to talk about one now, even though it is Freaky Freaky Friday.
Yeah, we'll do Freaky Freaky Friday later, but we're going to open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. During front page news in the 6 o'clock hour, Teslin was talking about Florida Board of Education approved new Black History standards
that teach how slaves develop skills for their personal benefit.
Right.
And so I think the question we asked was,
what are some suggestions to better educate future generations on Black history?
Well, listen, man, I was always taught to never rely on white institutions to teach our kids, you know, and since white propaganda got people thinking that Black people don't read and Black parents don't encourage their kids to read, I think we should discuss some ways to properly educate our kids. Like, we know their literacy rate is low in Black and brown communities. You know, we could talk about why that is, but we can also talk about people who can read, have access to books, and don't. And nowadays, man, you don't even have to pick up a book and physically read. You can listen to audible books.
Right.
You know, you can listen to the autobiography of Malcolm X. You can listen to The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. You know, you can listen. Well, I don't think they got Message to the Black Man yet. But you can listen to a lot of these great books nowadays.
Yeah, and I was saying earlier that, you know, that's maybe it's something like maybe doing classes at the church where black families already go to anyway on Sundays. And I remember as a kid, we used to go to the church and they used to have music classes on one day and reading classes on this day. But, you know, what are some suggestions to better educate future generations of black history? What?
To that point, the Bible is some of the first literature that people read.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the first thing that people learn to read is actually Bible scriptures. Growing up as a Jehovah's Witness, I was reading Bible scriptures. I was reading the Awake magazines and the Watchtowers. They had this big yellow book called My Book of Bible Stories, which had all of these pictures in it, you know? So, I mean, that could be a start.
Yeah, but we got to encourage it because, you know, when I was a kid, when I was in church, 9 times out of 10, I was sleeping. Or, you know, when Jehovah's Witness or Seventh-day Adventist would come ring the doorbells, we would not answer the door. Or, you know, or we wouldn't take the pamphlet. Or we'd be very disrespectful in Queens. But, you know, we have to start educating our community. And let's discuss that. 800-585-1051. What are some suggestions to better educate future generations on black history? Let's discuss. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Daddy calling my phone.
Tell her. It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we were talking about something in front page news earlier today. It was the fact that Florida Board of Education approves new black history standards that teach how slaves develop skills for their personal benefit. So we were talking about since they're pulling pretty much black history out of schools now and pulling out the books and don't want to teach black history, what do we need to do as a community to make sure that our young kids actually know what went on in black history and the future generation, and how do we educate them? That was the question that we were having this morning.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, you know, you can't depend on white institutions to teach our kids. You know, that is something the Nation of Islam and other great black leaders have been telling us since the beginning of time. For me, I feel like we just got to encourage our kids to read. You know, we have to recommend books for them to read. I was blessed to have a mother who was a Jehovah's Witness and an English teacher. So, you know, she kept the Bible in my face and Watchtowers and Awake. So that was the first literature I was exposed to. Then we had the Book It program when I was a kid in elementary school. And I was reading 4 books to get a free pizza. And my mom told me, read things that don't pertain to you. That's when I started reading Judy Blume and Beverly Cleary and all that stuff. And then my pops, you know, he gave me books like the autobiography of Malcolm X, which led me down a rabbit hole of wanting to know everything I could about the NOI. But also, any book that I saw Malcolm X reference, I read it, you know, and I've always done that. If I read a book and then they reference another book in that book, then I'll go read, you know, that book. That's why I thought, you know, when somebody like Nipsey Hussle was alive, you know, he was so brilliant because Nipsey would always reference different books in his interviews. Nipsey Hussle even had a book list that he put out, you know, and I think that's what you have to do. You just got to encourage, you know, our kids to read and recommend them things to read.
Yeah, I agree with you. I said earlier that I think we need to develop more programs, like even in the church, right? A lot of black families go to church together and have those days where we teach about our black history and black heroes. But also, I think as parents, need to knowledge themselves. You know, because it's very difficult to teach your child if you don't have the proper history. It's like anything else. My father's a retired police officer. He was able to teach me laws when I was a kid and teach me about just things as far as, you know, what to do if I get pulled over, what laws mean and how the judicial system works, because he was part of it. Same thing with my kids. You know, I have a daughter that's in the school, you know, in college right now for real estate and just passed her exam. I have a son that is doing real estate now and sold his first house. But like, these are things that they learned from their father. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I think we have to educate ourselves so we can actually educate our children, because there's a lot with black history that I'm still learning now.
Same here.
Because I honestly wasn't taught as a child.
I envy people who've gone to African American studies. You know what I mean? I love the way, you know, somebody like an Amanda Seales can just reference history so quickly. Mm-hmm. Somebody like a Michael Eric Dyson. And, you know, we know the literacy rates in black and brown communities are high. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other conversation. That's actually why Kevin Hart and I started our company with Audible SBH Productions. Because, you know, I think that sometimes it's not that kids aren't reading, there's just other ways for them to get that information. So instead of reading nowadays, people are listening, you know? So it's like, I always had the idea of, even though we did put out, you know, Finding Tamika and some of 85 is about, you know, what happened, the MOVE organization in Philadelphia. But I always taught that kids, always thought that kids could take in this information by listening. I lost my train of thought just now. Mm. How the hell I lost my train of thought like that?
Because you wasn't listening?
Yeah. Oh, now I was saying I think that kids can learn more by listening now than actually picking up books and reading.
Yeah, and I
wanted celebrities, that's what I was going to say. I wanted celebrities to do the audiobooks, mm-hmm. right? That was an idea we had when we launched this company, have celebrities reading audiobooks.
Right.
And, you know, Audible kind of took the idea, and they had Lawrence Fishburne read the autobiography of Malcolm X, but that's fine, as long as it happens. You know,
but you know what too, and I would also say this for a lot of parents. A lot of times we take our kids to on vacation, and vacation can mean many different things for many different people. It can mean taking them to Six Flags. It can mean taking them to Miami for Disney World or whatever. And I think sometimes, and that's fine, but we're gonna have to think of alternative things to do.
Well, like going you're to talking about experiences,
right? But like going to museums, like the museum that just opened up in South Carolina,
International African American Museum,
the one that's opened up in D.C., and even the one in South Carolina, I want to go to because there's so much history, right? You learn that's where that's where the first ships came that a lot of us touched down on this land. So I would love to learn that history. I've been fortunate enough to go to Africa and fortunate enough to go to South Africa and see these different places that from where Bob Marley was in Jamaica to where. I'm trying to think of some of the houses that we went to over there. So many different houses.
Even with that, and you're absolutely right what you're saying, but you're speaking from a person who has the financial means.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, instead of maybe going to Six Flags, going to the museum, and sometimes those museums, the prices are not that expensive. They're $10 for a ticket, and I'm sure a lot of times they do it for free just to teach our own. But just experiences like that, that we can actually see, touch, and get the proper knowledge.
And how about do something as simple as go get a library card?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Go get a library card and then go, look up some books to go get. I always tell people all the time, start with the autobiography of Malcolm X. There's a great book that I read when I was young called From N-Words to Gods by Akil. And the way that he wrote the book the way we actually talk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was like he's cursing it and he's using street vernacular.
Yeah, right.
But he's educating at the same time. You know what I mean? Like everything don't have to be 18-letter Shakespearean words for you to learn.
Like I was able to go to Nelson Mandela's house. I was able to go to where Nelson Mandela grew up. So I was able to see it, but I had the means to do it. But before I had the means, my mom had me in those museums. But let's go to the phone lines. We got Jamisha on the line. Jamisha, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jamisha.
Hey, DJ Envy and Charlamagne of God. I want to first say that I love you guys and I listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you very much, Jamisha. We appreciate it.
Yes. So I just wanted to chime in and just give my advice. I am 37, just to give you guys an idea of where I'm coming from. I'm a mom of a preteen boy, and I try to just share stories with him because the literature out there is not very fun for the kids to read or interesting. So I feel like it starts at home. We as the parents have to be encouraged to learn it so that we can then simply verbally share those stories with our kids so that hopefully when they get older, they'll read those stories or watch those movies that we watched when we got older or sometimes when we were even younger and we didn't understand what was going on.
Totally agree.
Right. So I agree that I just feel like it starts there.
Totally agree.
All right, thank you.
I totally agree. Starts in the house.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, my name is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Good morning. Talk to us. What's your thoughts?
Good morning, Charlamagne. Good morning, DJ Envy.
Good morning, Jerry.
First of all, I wanted to say rest in peace to Jerry's son because I just lost my child's father to gun violence in February.
Man. So, Jesus.
Sorry to hear that.
I understand where he's coming from. But I think we have to meet kids where they are. There's like so many social media apps, TikTok and stuff like that. I feel like maybe artists and different actors or just different people in the media in general should start maybe relaying Black history facts that way.
You
have to meet these kids where they are.
You're right, but you do realize on TikTok, one of the biggest things on TikTok, I don't know what you call it, is BookTok.
It's hashtag BookTok. Yeah, BookTok,
It's hashtag BookTok. Like even when I'm putting out books, on my own or through my imprint, like these Barnes and Nobles and Simon and Schuster's, Harper, they always talk about BookTok. They want BookTok to be talking about their books because it's so big.
Right.
So these kids are having these conversations.
Yeah, and those are the conversations that I love. And let's open up the phone lines again. 800-585-1051. What are some suggestions to better educate future generations on Black history? That is the question. And I just want to say one thing. It's like, sometimes, you know, what's the saying? Sometimes your skinfolk ain't your kinfolk.
Your skinfolk ain't your kinfolk.
And right. The reason I say that is because a lot of times I see people trying to educate, and people, the first thing they say is, oh, it's a lie. Like, and I remember when you started talking mental health, right? And people mm-hmm. was like, oh, he's just doing it for a check. He doesn't really care. It is that and the other.
I ain't never got paid for nothing from it.
And this man has gave up his I don't want to say give up his life, but he's put his life in books to explain and to see how he's felt, and he's done so many things. And the same thing with me and trying to teach people about real estate. It's like, when we try to do these things, we try to really put on for our community so that we can learn to get the education that we didn't have. And we're not saying that we know everything, but we just want to open the door for you guys to start reading, to start doing research on these things, to start asking questions. Just mm-hmm. ask questions. That's all we want. And we'll take your calls when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, this conversation comes from Front Page News. Now, Florida Board of Education approves new Black History standards that teach how slaves develop skills for their personal benefit. So, obviously, they're trying to take our Black history out of the school system. And we're asking, you know, what is the solution? You know, how can we change that?
I already told you, you know, you can't depend on white institutions to teach your kids. You know what I mean? Like, we have to start encouraging our kids to read, and we have to recommend books for them to read at home. You know, another good thing that I do, you know, around our house is so much Black imagery.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you hear Jesse Lyers making jokes about the big-ass Harriet Tubman picture, but that's true. I got four daughters, so I want them to see strong images of Black women. Mm-hmm. So they'll ask questions, who is that? You say, oh, that's Harriet Tubman. And like the young lady said, then you can have a conversation about who Harriet Tubman is. And, you know, you hope that education continues on mm-hmm. as they get older.
Right. Well, let's go to the phone line. We have Diane on the line. Diane, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Talk to us. What's your thoughts, Mama?
Okay. Well, good morning, first of all, to everyone of you. DJ and the Charlamagne Tha God, Lady Liz Figaro. I just wanted to say good morning. But I myself, I'm a grandma. And my oldest child is older than you, Charlamagne Tha God. But what happened is, because of the climate, I'm retired, and I was faced with the opportunity to homeschool my 11 and 15-year-old grand. I've been doing this for a couple of years. We were registered through the Board of Ed in North Carolina. I'm from New York, but my family is from South Carolina. I took it upon myself to incorporate Black history as a subject.
That's right.
And I teach them. And we're in all the books. 16, 19, Black History is our social studies book. We do that. We talk about history. We have, there's a link, blackfacts.com website, which gives you so much pertinent information on Black history. We talk about that. We're in the Quran. We're in the Bible. Your book, Shook One. We're just all over the place, but I make sure that they know the foundation. I also, because I've gone through something some years ago, I send out inspirations every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. Used to be one or two people, it's now 150 people. And I do it one by one because I don't do groups. But what I do is I invite them on Black history. Not just for February, but for every month. And we talk about things, not just the normal things people would talk about, Martin Luther King, not that we don't talk about them, but we've gone into everything. We talk about the massacre. We talk about the history. Mm. So I do that. Growing up in New York, history was something that Black history, we were a part of. There was a lot of things that there was a foundation of history, and we were kind of taught that in schools a little bit.
That's right.
The rest, we lived. We grew up in that era. It's different now, and it's true. A lot of Black families don't know their history. A lot of them don't have time to teach their children. A lot of them do depend on the schools. But you have to be mindful and careful of what's going on in the schools. I was able to see during the pandemic how they were handling that, and they're not being taught. But you can't blame the parents because a lot of them don't know themselves.
You're right, Queen. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
By the way, how old are you? How old are you as a grandma?
I'm close to 70.
Close to 70.
God bless you.
And I never thought I would be in this position to be doing this, but I embrace it. I love it.
We love it too. We're glad that God kept you here to be able to do it.
That's right, Mama.
Absolutely, absolutely. You all have a blessed day, and thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing.
Have a great weekend, Mama. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Rashid out of Trenton.
Hey, what's up, brother? Talk to us.
Hey, man, I want to give out Charlamagne a shout out for giving people information as far as how to learn their history. But I got the easiest format for anybody. If you can't follow this format, you just don't want to learn. All you got to do is go to YouTube and Google KRS-One. Then you can also Google certain songs because hip-hop has gave information on this. You got the Gravediggers, Pick, Sickle, and Shovel, where RZA actually break it down the whole slave trade of the song. By far in the verse. You know, you got Sons of Man. You got Killer Army. You know what I'm saying? You got Poor Righteous Teachers out of Trenton. Shout out Poor Righteous Teachers.
You got Killer Mike. You got Early Ice Killer Cube.
But
you're right.
Public Enemy.
Out of California.
Public Enemy.
But a lot of those artists are our era of artists, what people are saying. Like, you know, like you said, KRS-One. You know, KRS-One, where he's breaking down. I want to play that KRS-One. You must learn. You must learn. We're going to pull that record up.
Exactly.
Where he breaks down all the, you know, he talks about, you know, who created the stoplight and who created this and this, that, and the ever.
Exactly.
But,
exactly. Along with Black Cop. And even like you said, you must learn. But listen, I know it's our era, but still, if you're trying to learn and you listen to hip hop, well, this is the lazy way for you to do it.
I'll give him another. You're absolutely right. I'll give him another suggestion. Google Kendrick Lamar's reading recommendations. Google Nipsey Hussle's reading recommendations. I'm looking at Kendrick's right now. Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. Things Fall Apart. The Black of the Berry by Wallace Thurman. Roots by Alex Haley. The Color Purple by Alice Walker. That's Kendrick's reading list. So it's not like we don't have people out here that are encouraging people to read.
Well, what's the moral of the story, man?
The moral of the story is what I said earlier. You can't rely on white institutions, you know, to teach your kids Black history. You know what I mean? Like, you do have to do a lot of self-education at home, man. And I also want to say, please, let's stop repeating white propaganda talking points in regards to Black people. If we start having conversations about Black people self-educating and encouraging each other to read, please, folks, let's not start saying Black people can't read and Black parents don't teach their kids to read. That's nonsense, and that's not all the way accurate. You know what I'm saying? All these people who called up here, you know, telling us how they teach their kids at home, the grandma who said she homeschooled her kids and taught them Black history, y'all give me a lot of hope. There's nothing dumb about us. There's nothing uneducated about us. Don't listen to these white propaganda talking points about us and in regards to literacy. And please, don't repeat them. Man.
All right. All right, when we come back, we got your rumor report. Dwight Howard, he's in a sticky situation. We'll get to it next.
You are nasty.
What?
Not Dwight Howard, you, because the way you worded that.
What?
You know what you just did.
I just said Dwight Howard.
Stop acting stupid. You like to play dumb.
I said Dwight Howard's in a sticky situation.
Okay, when we hear about the situation, you're going to hear why it's sticky.
A sticky predicament.
See? Why there got to be a predicament?
We'll get to it next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
I believe that if you teach in history, deal with straight up facts, no mystery. Teach the student what needs to be taught, because black and white kids both take shorts. When one doesn't know about the other one's culture, ignorance swoops down like a vulture. Because you don't know that you ain't just a janitor. No one told you about Benjamin Banneker, a brilliant black man that invented the almanac. Can't you see what KRS is coming at? With Eli Whitney, Haile Selassie, Graham Bill Woods made the walkie-talkie. Louis Latimer improved on Edison. Charles Drew did a lot for medicine. Garrett Morgan made the traffic lights. Harriet Tubman freed the slaves at night. Madam C.J. Walker made the straightening comb. But you won't know this if you weren't shown. The point I'm getting at, it might be harsh, is we're just walking around brainwashed. See what I'm saying? It's not to diss a man. We need the 89 school system, one that caters to a black return, because you must learn.
Yes, cast one. You must learn.
Just thought it was a great time to play that song after the conversation we just had.
I'm not mad at it. And like I said during that conversation, you know, go get some book recommendations, man. You know what I mean? I recommended Nipsey Hussle's reading list for y'all. I recommended Kendrick Lamar's reading list for y'all. But those calls Those calls made me feel good. I'm not going to lie. I like that people are self-educating their kids at home, because you cannot rely on these white institutions to teach your kids about Black history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I also want to say salute to everybody in Charleston, South Carolina, man. I will be there next Thursday for the Low Country Mental Health Conference. Salute to Mayor John Tecklenburg, man. You can go to lowcountrymhconference.com to see what they're doing all weekend. It's from July 26th to the 28th in Charleston, South Carolina. They have in-person and virtual viewing options, man. So they've been doing this in Charleston for like 12, 13 years, and I had no idea until I was having a conversation with Mayor Tech a couple weeks ago when I was home in South Carolina, and he told me about this. So I said, yo, we're going to help you amplify that, and I'll be there to welcome people on July 27th. So go to lowcountrymhconference.com, and I'm doing a book signing there.
Okay.
As well.
You know, I was just, after having that conversation, I was on the phone with my assistant, Mercedes. Shout out to Mercedes.
Bigfoot Mercedes.
Yo, shut up, man. Mercedes is 6'3". Stop it.
6'3", size 12 in men.
She play basketball. But, you know, we were talking about, since we're talking about to create a place where people go, and, you know, Markasha, we bring, you know, 10, 15,000 people together.
Mm-hmm.
We were thinking about doing some kind of book swap where people can actually come in and get a book.
That's
and
dope.
Leave with a book where they can actually, you know, read the book, and we get people to donate books so that we can, you know, continue to pass around the knowledge and the history. So we just got to figure that out. It was just an idea that came to both of our heads when she was listening this morning. So I think that'd be a great opportunity, because we're always talking about, you know, the church and places where we are. And I think that'd be a great opportunity where, you know, a family can come and they can take a book. You know what I mean? And hopefully get some knowledge.
And also there's so many other ways to take in information other than, you know, picking up physical copies and flipping pages. I'm old school, so I like flipping pages, but Audible.
Audible.
You know what I mean?
Audible.
Any of these, not just Audible, but any place you can get audio books. All these books we're talking about, the autobiography of Malcolm X is read by Lawrence Fishburne right now. Like, you can go, you know, listen to it. Like, the same way y'all like to listen to podcasts, you can listen to these books that we're recommending. So,
all right. Now, when we come back, we got to talk Dwight Howard.
Don't do it. Just say you got a story about Dwight Howard. Don't need none of your little puns. Okay?
I was going to say, it was just a nasty situation all over the internet yesterday. That's all I was going to say.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk about it when we come back. It gets sticky. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
There you go.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. It's time to get to the rumors. Let's talk Dwight Howard.
Rumor has it. Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on the Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes. Right. Now, before we start, Charlamagne, are you going to help me do this report?
Oh, what you really want to say to me is, Charlamagne, are you going to role play with me?
Oh, are you going to role play with me?
It depends.
Okay, hold on. Yes, you are. I see you got the paper. Hold on. Let me tell the story. So, Dwight Howard is sued for assault and battery by a man he allegedly met on Instagram. Now, the man's name is Stephen Harper. We'll say allegedly. He's filed a lawsuit with wild claims against the NBA star. Harper said he took an Uber to Howard's home. While he was on his way there, he said that Howard texted him asking if he would prefer a threesome with a dude or a girl. Harper said he noticed Howard on his phone texting someone when he got there. A few minutes later, he said a man arrived dressed as a woman and called themselves Kitty. The suit claimed Howard began to rub Harper's thigh and stroke his eggplant through his underwear.
Why you can't say penis? How you act like that's a curse word. Say penis, bro. He stroked his penis through his underwear. In the story, this is just all blog nonsense.
Right. Well, this isn't. It's a court document.
Oh, it's a court document?
Yeah, he filed a lawsuit.
Okay.
Harper said that he looked at Howard and shook his head no, and verbally told him no. Despite the alleged protest, Harper said Howard continue. Harper said he told Howard to stop, which led allegedly Howard to be angry. And he said the defendant stood up, grabbed Mr. Harper by the thighs, forcibly removed Mr. Harper's underwear, and held Mr. Harper down and performed non-consensual oral sex on Mr. Harper. All right. Now, we also have these DMs, allegedly. So, I'll be the top one, and you'll be the bottom.
I will. First of all, I don't even know if I want to play this game with you, number one. But if we did play, I would absolutely be the top, and you would be the bottom. That's a fact.
All right. Well, let's go.
No.
What's up, sexy?
No, I'm good. You already did the story. Move on. I'm cool. There's no need to do this.
What's up,
sexy?
First of
all, I don't even know if these text messages are real. Text messages are the easiest things to fake nowadays.
What's up, sexy?
None you.
Was helping my sister. Oh, wait. I gotta go. Oh, here it goes. I'm sorry. Just starting my day off, about to shower in a few.
Eye emojis.
I got you. What you have planned for today?
You and ATL. We play today.
Yeah, I stay in Atlanta.
I'm not. It ain't even juicy enough, to be honest with you.
It gets juicier.
All right, let me see. All right, let me see. Go ahead.
All right, so we'll fast forward. ATL, for the, all right. You got to say, you have some. Now he goes, you send a picture, you send a photo. I put my tongue emoji. My tongue emoji. You go,
all right, man. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
You have some. Come
this
on.
Is stupid.
You have, okay, got to go. You have some what shots? Okay.
I don't know what that says. It's bleeped out.
It's the C word.
C word.
You.
Oh, like.
Rhymes with bum.
Yeah. Oh, Gamecocks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Boom. You have some C shots. LOL.
I don't.
I can make.
I can make you.
Man, this ain't real, man. I just want to see your eggplant emoji.
I can't make you
like that.
I can't. I can make you some personal ones, though.
I just want to see your eggplant emoji.
I got you, sexy.
All right, man.
And tag me in when you need me. I'm here.
Wow.
So Brandon, our producer, did the research.
Wow.
Is with us.
Please, Brandon, you in? Okay, go ahead.
I got you, sexy.
What's
to do right here? Come on. I want you more.
I want you more.
I got you, Poppy.
Brandon, why are you doing this? You
also
got a job, bro.
Also, what are you into? I like freaky ish.
Yes, I'm into freaky ish.
Brandon, you volunteer. You know you don't have to do any of this. You work behind the scenes. You're choosing to do this.
Keep going, Brandon.
Now I want you to know I'm not like Gary or anything. I'm just nasty sometimes.
Yes,
I want to offend
you. That's what we were thinking.
And he loved the movie.
I was thinking that when you volunteered to do this.
What happened?
You not gay, but you nasty sometimes.
We almost done. Hold on. Yes. And I understand, sexy. Mm. We're grown. And I'm not offended at all.
Water mouth emoji.
Let me see. That's a water mouth emoji? What the hell is the water mouth emoji? Am I the hell? What the hell is the water? The water mouth? There's a water mouth emoji?
It's water mouth emoji.
What the hell is the water mouth emoji? Show me the water mouth
emoji. You gotta add that to your repertoire.
No, I'm done. I have to add that to my rep or nothing.
Come on, keep going. Let me, come on.
Yeah, I said, let me see.
I said, let me see your eggplant.
Let me see your eggplant.
Now go to the you want to have a threesome part. Go.
Brandon acting like he ain't read these 10 times.
Yeah. Where you at?
Right here, man. You want to have a threesome?
Brandon,
come on.
Brandon ad-libbing now. Where you at? I'm right behind you.
I don't see that part.
The water mouth emoji.
Forget it, Brandon.
The water mouth emoji is nasty.
Oh, man, they all
put
over
the water mouth emoji with an eggplant. You different.
Oh, man. I hate y'all. I hate this show. It's Freaky Freaky Friday. All right.
Was there any reason for you to do that, Brandon?
It was none, but I had fun. I enjoyed myself.
You did that for recreation. Yeah.
You did that for recreation.
You told me to add the water mouth emoji to my reposado. Why would I add the water mouth emoji to my reposado?
Oh, my gosh. I hate y'all. All right. And lastly, Travis Scott. You know, we've been playing his record every hour on the hour. It features, his new single features Bad Bunny and The Weeknd. He actually did an interview here at the station where he talked to about a lot of the jocks. And he talked about what happened last night. And he talks about his new record and the things that he's working on.
Honestly, we giving like the whole like Breakfast Club vibe for real. Like shout out to DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne,
Envious.
We got a shout out to Big Boy over at Cali,
man. Yeah, Big Boy.
DJ Mr. Rogers in the HNO, he holding us down. DJ Clue probably taking a break from playing basketball in New York.
Man, Clue, you getting cooked when I see you in New York. Don't even play. You know what time it is.
Shout out DJ Pup Dog, all that. Everybody tapped in.
You know what it is, man. Everybody on every station, man. We love y'all, man. Yeah, he actually did that before he released his record last night. So salute to Travis Scott. And we're about to get that record on. But before we do, donkey today, who you giving your donkey to, Charlamagne?
Oh, man, four after the hour. We need the Florida Board of Education to come to the front of the congregation. We like to have a word with them. I started to say the Florida after the hour. With the four. What the hell? Y'all know what I'm doing.
We know what you meant. Yes. We know what you meant. All right, we'll get to that donkey today next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum Large Size Condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum Large Size Condoms.
WWPR FM HD1 New York.
And iHeart Radio Station.
This is a miracle.
There is no question that there are problems in this country between police and community.
Yes, you are
a donkey.
To the latest on that police killing of a black man.
Now to new developments in the deadly spa shooting rampage.
And yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
And so we are in a state of emergency.
Okay, white supremacist violence is and always has been the number one threat to our society.
But I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
All right, Charlene, please tell me, why was I your donkey of the day?
Well, donkey of the day for Friday, July 21st, goes to the Florida Board of Education. What does your Uncle Sharla always say about the great state of Florida? The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida, and today is no exception. And those folks is going to remain crazy because the current government they have is going to drive them that way. All right, see, the Florida Board of Education approved a new set of standards for how black history should be taught in the state's public schools. Would you like to know what their new standards are? Let's go to Fox 35 Orlando for the report, please.
So the Florida Department of Education Board approved several controversial rules for the upcoming school year. One of the biggest changes is to social studies standards for African American history for kindergarten through 12th grade. The board had a task force rewrite the new African American history curriculum. The board feels they created a well-rounded curriculum that provides a depth of knowledge of what African Americans have gone through. But there were many in the meeting that voiced their opposition to the new standards, including Senator Geraldine Thompson, who believes this was an effort but not a comprehensive account of African American history. For example, she believes the Ocoee massacre will not be taught in a way that shares the whole story with both sides.
I think we're shortchanging our students. It's the students who are going to suffer by not knowing the history and therefore not really embracing all of who we are. We can't celebrate progress unless we acknowledge the pain that came about with it.
Very true, sister. Mm-hmm. If they aren't afraid of the full truth of American history, then how come they just won't tell it? This is the latest nonsense in Florida's debate over black history. The Education Department already rejected a preliminary pilot version of AP African American Studies courses for high school students, which it claimed lacked educational value. Well, I can tell you it has zero educational value, and that's lies. Okay, telling people that the enslaved developed skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit, is a white devil damned lie. Slavery wasn't no vocational school. Nobody enrolled in slavery so they could learn a trade, all right? They make slavery sound like it was a welding class, all right? You didn't want to implement the AP African American Studies class because you said it didn't tell the whole truth about American history. Well, these new standards y'all created aren't the truth either. You can't take credit for the strength and methods of survival that slaves learned based off a matter of necessity. They had no choice, all right? Nobody taught them that. All right, first law of nature is self-preservation. Right? They're just trying to survive. Right? They gentrified our neighborhoods. Now they're gentrifying our past and our history. They really trying to take credit for how resilient we are as people after enslaving us. Could you imagine if, you know, when they were alive, Ike Turner took credit for Tina Turner knowing how to take a punch? How would that sound? Huh? Now let me give you an example of something they want to teach. You heard it in the news report. Ocoee, Florida. They want to talk about the 1920 Ocoee, Florida massacre. And under the new rules, they require that instruction includes acts of violence perpetrated against and by African Americans. Okay, the massacre is considered the deadliest Election Day violence in U.S. history. And according to several histories of the incident, it started when Moses Norman, a prominent black landowner in the community, attempted to cast his ballot and was turned away by white poll workers. That's like the whitewashed version of what really happened. Okay, what happened was a mob of white supremacists murdered at least 50 black people for attempting to exercise their legal and democratic right to vote. Okay, on November 1st, the day before the election, with their robes and their crosses, the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, paraded through the streets of two black communities in Ocoee, and they had megaphones, and it was nighttime, and they warned that not a single Negro will be permitted to vote, and if any of them dared to, there would be dire consequences. If somebody walks through your neighborhood the night before an election and tells you that if you vote, there's going to be dire consequences, then the next day, a mob of white supremacists kills 50 black people for voting. That is premeditated murder, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? All right? When you say acts of violence, all right? When you say acts of violence perpetrated against and by African Americans, please knock it off. there was no violence committed by African Americans in regards to the Ocoee massacre, unless, of course, you think black people exercising their right to vote is an act of violence. And if black people did get violent on that day, it was in self-defense of the white supremacist mob that was trying to kill them. Who the hell gonna stand around and just die? Okay? What these people are doing is trying to remix history. All right, these white people are trying to do what Jermaine Dupri and Diddy have mastered. Definition of the remix. We invented the remix. Whatever it is, those white folks in Florida are doing it. All right, they're trying to do it. All right, that's what they're trying to do right now. So to all the education and civil rights advocates who are pushing back against this, keep fighting. We respect it. We riding with you. But I have to tell y'all, we can't rely on white institutions to teach our kids. Okay, every great black leader we've ever had has told us this, you know, and we must listen. We cannot rely on white institutions to teach our kids black history. We have to self-educate our kids in regards to black history. We have to self-educate each other in regards to black history. Give book recommendations and encourage each other to learn as much about black history as humanly possible. Why would I rely on my open enemy to teach me about me? Florida is showing us what happens when you do that. Please give the Florida Board of Education the biggest hee-haw. You know what's crazy? I've been here all morning talking about Nipsey Hussle's book recommendation list. You know, because, you know, Nipsey left us with a bunch of books that he thinks that we should read to educate ourselves.
Yep, yep, yep.
And I didn't even realize I got my Nipsey Hussle chain and a Nipsey t-shirt on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I wore it this morning, but I didn't know we were going to be having these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All so, right.
Salute to Nipsey, man. Long live Nipsey Hussle.
Absolutely.
Educate yourselves.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. And shout to BET. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, it's Friday. So you know what that means?
It's freaking Friday. I learned something new this morning.
What's that?
I didn't know there was a water mouth emoji.
Water mouth emoji.
You showed me that when you showed me that the text conversation.
Text thread between allegedly.
It don't matter who it was between.
Exactly.
It was a water mouth emoji and a eggplant.
All right, so let's just have a little fun on this Friday. So we want to know what emojis do you send when you're trying to be a little sexy, when you're trying to get it in.
Yeah, what do that? I would be lost. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm 45 years old. I'm so happy I'm married and been with the same woman for 25 years because I would be lost trying to figure some of this stuff out.
You're an eggplant type of emoji, like a small eggplant. I could see you sending that to somebody.
What you seeing? You seeing my bulge or something? Like why would you?
I said small eggplant.
Mm.
But what's a smaller than an eggplant? What's another vegetable that's small?
A pickle?
Nah.
Mm-mm. A cucumber?
No. What else you thinking? The red is like, I'm not getting into this one.
I'm more of a planting. They got a planting emoji?
More of a pea.
I'm lying.
I think a pea emoji. Do they have a pea emoji?
First of all, how did we get here?
I don't know how we got here, but let's leave here. 800-585-1051. What? What'd you say? What did you say?
You always Deborah Cox in a person.
Yo, yeah.
How did we get here?
800. Yeah.
Nobody's supposed to be here.
800-585-1051.
Was that Deborah Cox? That was Deborah Cox, right? Yeah, nobody's supposed to be here.
Yeah. We're asking, what emojis do you send when you're trying to be sexy or you're trying to get it in, all right? Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's Freaky Friday.
It's Freaky Friday.
Call in now. 800-585-1051.
Hey, look, where are my freaks at?
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're talking about some emojis you send if you want to be spicy with your significant other.
Now, I was realizing I don't send them more. I told you, I'm a meme guy.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, I was going through my phone, looking at all the stuff I sent my wife. I sent her one that said, N-words run from poom poom too. That's why they change positions so they don't peanut quick.
I know what you
yes.
mean. Yes. I know what you mean.
Oh, shit.
What?
Don't curse, bro.
Don't curse, brother.
Oh, my fault. I didn't know I was on.
What's up, brother? Talk to us.
Yeah. I'm talking about the emojis, right?
Yeah, what emojis yes, you send? Sir.
I send two of them. Send a boxing glove with a little sleeping emoji.
Or the boxing glove, you're gonna beat it up?
Beat it to sleep. And now I think about it, I think I should add a third one, like a breakfast plate or something.
What happens when she knocks you out in the first round?
Then she's cooking breakfast in the morning.
Okay, I like that. See, that's good. That's a good idea, yo.
What's that?
Because that gives you incentive to, like, put it down. Like, whoever, you know, puts it down gets breakfast cooked for them in the morning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Exactly.
All right, Bubba. Hello, who's this?
Buzzy.
Hey, what's up, brother? We talking about the emojis you send to that special somebody when you want to get a little spicy.
They have the emoji
that has like a little face that make it has like a dripping sweat, and then you put a peach, pretty much saying you're getting turned on from their ass. And then you got another one with their brain pretty much looking like your mind's getting exploded. And then you put a brain pretty much saying you're going to give them some bomb ass.
I'm not going to lie. I hope that your sex game is more exciting than this phone conversation.
Yeah, because this sound the phone like, conversation sounds really...
You sound very down.
Yeah, very dull.
you sound like you've been smoking indigo all morning long.
No, actually, I'm on my way to work.
Okay. Well, have a good day at work, baby.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Well, I guess the moral of the story is always keep it spicy with your significant other, no matter what it is.
I don't care how old you are. Keep that childlike, immature, you know, nastiness going on.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. You should. And every time you pass your wife or your man or your husband, you should grab his ass, stick your little finger. What? Let me stop. Brett said that sounded crazy.
You encouraged him? That did sound crazy. You just couldn't leave it at wife. He was like, "You're next."
That's for women too.
Anytime you pass your wife or your man, or you grab his ass, put a little finger in his apple juice.
That's the moral of the story, man.
You said it just now, man.
You know what?
What the hell is wrong with you?
When we come back, we are past the aux. All right, of course, Nyla will be joining us.
Nyla Simone.
We'll talk about some of the records that's popping. And I just want to give a salute to some of the albums. I want to salute to Nas. His album came out. He dropped a new project with Hit-Boy. He got a record with 50 called, I believe, The Office, which is hard. So shout out to the boy Nas, Queen's Own. All right? And when we come back, Nyla will be here for Past the Aux. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now it's time for Pass the Aux.
It's time for Pass the Aux with DJ Nyla.
Yup. Nyla.
Yeah, DJ, come spin now, come spin.
And of course, DJ Nyla is here. What up, Nyla?
What's up, guys? How are you?
NYLA. Big Nyla, not the little one.
People be mad about your Pass the Aux stuff, boy.
Man.
I seen Fabo and Fabo going back and forth.
I know.
That was all in fun, though.
That was
it. Yeah, I loved it. Even the Coda stuff. Everything lived in its own. The Spillage Village teams. All the people were happy to get feedback from you guys.
Yeah, they said that we were going to hurt our rotator cup.
What?
Why? By dancing, because it was like we dancing, looked like we were going to hold out. Okay,
first of all, young men and women, that's our era. Okay. All right. We invented goofy looking dances way before y'all did.
That is facts.
All right.
Super facts.
Okay.
All right. What we got today, though?
Speaking of your era, so DKE Arthur from Belgrade, Florida, which is like, I think Miami ish, got a song called Sticking and Rolling, but it flips Doodoo Brown. I don't know if that's y'all era. Is that?
Don't you ever disrespect us. You goddamn right, Doodoo Brown is our era.
I don't know.
We was in the club getting musty to Doodoo Brown. You hear me? Put your hands up high, your back down low, down high. Drop it to the floor.
See? That was like a
message. In it, Doodoo Brown.
All right, let's get into it.
Hard.
I guess you're into it.
Drop one of Kuzma. What's that young man's name?
DKE Arthur.
Man, I've been waiting for somebody to tap back into that sound. That's why I like that little Duval did Squeeze.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That Florida Miami bass sound, oh man. And Atlanta Crunk, ah, marvelous.
Charlamagne about to hurt his knees.
Marvelous.
Yo, you're going in just now.
Marvelous.
What was that stupid?
That bass was not.
I know we got a seizure. What was going on?
Yeah, that's dope. TikTok challenge going on right now.
Nah, that's dope. I don't want to hear that on TikTok. I want to hear that in the club.
Nah, that's dope. You don't go to the club, so you better listen on TikTok.
You're right. I'm talking about my house.
So what else we got?
All right, so next we got Chica. She's from Alabama, if you guys aren't familiar with her. But she has a new project dropping on July 28th. But she has a single out right now called Truth or Dare featuring Freddie Gibbs. That's dope.
Okay.
Salute to Chica.
I like that.
She dope.
Chica's dope.
It's dope.
Chica's really dope. So yeah, I'm looking forward to her album dropping. And then lastly, I'm going to go with Ryan Trey. He's from St. Louis, and he's an R&B singer, and he's working with Neil. Neil told me to tell you guys not to say nothing crazy.
What Neil?
Neil that Bryson Tiller Neil?
Yes.
Oh, you know, Neil used to be my intern.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Absolutely. And we used to make him walk to Brooklyn for cheesecake.
Definitely didn't make it. When we worked at Verge, he was one of the interns
there.
You were
one of those?
Nah, he definitely
worked. He used to make him bake cheesecake.
All right. Well,
that is not true. Neil is the homie.
Well, Neil's working with Ryan Trey, super dope R&B artist, and he has a record with Mariah the Scientist called Ain't Even Friends.
That's all?
Yeah.
That's all.
Eli in the background is
he like it?
Me.
Eli likes
he's
it?
He's dancing. He loves Ryan Trey.
Eli, man, that's all.
Oh, he likes Ryan Trey? Who's Ryan Trey? He must be signed to OVO.
No, he's not signed to OVO.
Oh, okay. Eli loves all things OVO.
Everything OVO.
Yeah, he does.
Eli, let me hear some song earlier called, what was that song called? Your Poom Poom Gay?
No.
What
was it?
Your girlfriend gay? My girlfriend gay? I'm not homophobic.
He said I'm not homophobic because my girlfriend gay.
Yeah, that's something like that.
Yeah. What are you listening to?
You don't know that record?
I told him it's old. I played it so many times up here. He don't be listening.
Yo.
I know it now.
That record is old.
That's what I told him.
And that record moves crowds.
Yes.
I can see why. It's a dope tune.
Yes.
It's a dope tune.
But nonetheless, if you like the dope tunes that I suggested today, make sure you guys download the Pastor Ox playlist. You can find it by following me on Instagram at Nyla Simone. Click the link in bio. And there's playlists there, there's podcasts there, there's, you know, Amazon shows there. It's a lot. So
and I need to say this on air, because if I don't say it on air, Nyla not going to be moved to do it.
Right.
Nyla needs to do Pastor Ox Live. She keeps saying she wants to do Pastor Ox Live. I want her to do it, okay? Meaning that a lot of these new artists that she's playing here on Friday, invite a couple of them.
They got to perform.
To come up here and perform. You know what I mean? Come to New York City, perform, hosted by Nyla Simone. You know,
what's up, Nyla?
You never know. We might show up, you know what I mean? But I just think she need to do Pastor Ox Live. I think that'll be a good showcase for a lot of these people that she playing, you know? Because I don't see those in New York like I used to. There used to be these times where you would see these
SOBs all the time.
SOBs, exactly. Yep, yep, yep. They used to do those up-and-coming shows. I think you should do that, Nyla, even though you've been planning to do it but won't execute it.
Well, the issue with execution is finding a venue.
SOBs. Why don't you go reach out to SOBs? SOBs is still open, right?
Right.
We got the lounge here. Don't you know? We'll talk about all that. Yeah. I'm just pushing Nyla to do it. That's all.
Absolutely.
And I would like to know, would artists participate?
I'm sure they
would. The artists that Nyla has been showing support to on Pastor Ox Live, showing support to on her Amazon show, Rotation Roundtable, her AMP show. What's the AMP show called?
Rotation.
Oh, that is it. I thought you were engaged.
One's Rotation Roundtable and then one's Rotation Radio.
The moral of the story is Nyla shows a lot
of
love.
They would
do
it.
I want these artists.
Nobody cares about DJs anymore.
We would back you.
They clearly care. Every time you do Pastor Ox on the radio, these artists be happy to hear that.
Yes.
Mad.
So let's take it a step further. Pastor Ox Live.
Let's do it.
You know what I mean?
All right. No pressure.
No, all pressure.
I see.
That's the point of me doing this on air.
Thank you.
All
right.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Nyla.
Thanks, Envy.
All right. The People's Choice mixes up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Our audible pick of the day is Murder in Bermuda. And James Patterson's latest two murders are just the beginning of the mystery. Listen when you sign up for a free trial at audible.com/breakfastclub.
Hey everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. I just want to remind you guys, my car show in Atlanta is 8 days away. I can't wait to see you guys. Of course, we're going to have so much. It's a family fun day. So besides the music and celebrity cars and old school cars and new school cars, shout to Uptown Car Club that is joining us. Shout to PRE, who's bringing Dolph's whole fleet. 50, of course, Boosie. We got games and rides for kids and jumpies and so much to go that's happening. So I know the weather is hot out there. We're going to have AC, so you're going to be good. So bring the whole family on, and I can't wait to see you guys next Saturday in Atlanta. And also, last night, you were on Andy Cohen.
Yes, I was on Andy Cohen, man. Watch What Happens Live. Salute to Andy for having me. Andy played this great game called Who's the Bigger Legend?
Mm-hmm.
So he would put two people up on the screen.
Yep.
And then he would, ask you, who's the bigger legend?
Right.
Tough game. Because both of the people that they put up are legends.
Right.
But you got to pick the bigger one.
Gotcha. Let's listen.
Who's the bigger legend, Jordan or LeBron?
Michael Jordan.
Come on. Okay, all right. Don't be mad at me. Who's the bigger legend, Oprah or Beyonce?
Oh, my God. I'm going to pick it, Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter. That's my last name.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to say Oprah.
Yeah, you got to go.
Just because of what she's done. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Who's the bigger legend, Derek Jeter or Joe DiMaggio?
I think DiMaggio. He's my hero. Marilyn Monroe. Whoa. Wow.
I don't know who Joe DiMaggio is.
Excuse me?
I don't. I'm sorry.
You don't know who Joe DiMaggio is?
Of course I know who Joe DiMaggio is, but y'all know your Uncle Sharla. I keep telling y'all, you have to be committed to not knowing who white people are. because they do it to us all the time. They will confuse Luther Vandross with
Master P.
Master P.
Okay.
They will confuse, you know, Will.i.am with Jermaine Dupri. They do it to us all the time.
Got you.
Therefore, you have to give it back to them. Either act like you don't know who they are or confuse them on purpose.
Got you.
That's it. You know what I mean? I started to say, oh, Joe DiMaggio, he's the guy that sings New York, New York, right? That's him? That's old Blue Eyes, right? I started to do that. But the only reason I did is because I like Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
So I didn't.
All right.
You know?
So when they ask you about Taylor Swift, you say that's...
Carrie Underwood.
Okay. And then when they ask you about Carrie Underwood, you say that's Sharon.
No, I say that's Miranda Lambert. I put Ed Sheeran in the Beatles. So Ed Sheeran is one of the Beatles. So it's Ed Sheeran, Machine Gun Kelly, Elton John, and Sting are the Beatles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why white people don't necessarily like your picking people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, well, when we come back, positive notice to Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Before we get up out of here, I just want to send a rest in peace to Gilly the King's son, who passed away, who was killed last night in Philadelphia. Very sad situation.
Man.
It was a triple shooting, and his son died. So very, very, very sad. I just want to send rest in peace and condolences to his whole family, and continue to pray for Gilly.
That's my man, man. I love Gilly so much. I love Wilo so much, man. I'm sending him and his family healing energy, man. And, you know, what makes that situation hurt even more is the simple fact that Gilly and Wilo give so much to the city of Philadelphia. Those are the brothers that are out here encouraging, you know, those young brothers to put the guns down. Those two brothers are encouraging these young brothers, you know, not to resort to violence. If it was something like that to happen to his son, man, that hurts on a different level, man. Sending very them sad brothers healing energy, man.
Absolutely. All right, well, it's time for a positive note. You got a positive note?
Oh, I do. And also, I want to say, too, man, make sure you go out there. If you have Audible, check out Alicia Renee's new project, Unleashed with Love. It's executive produced by myself and Kevin Hart. It's a romantic comedy. We've been talking to y'all all morning about how, you know, you can listen to audiobooks and stuff now. Well, now you can even listen to TV shows. And this is essentially a TV show that you can listen to via Audible. It's called Unleashed for Love. It stars Alicia Renee, Jess Hilarious, Pretty V, Portia Williams is on there, Giselle Bryan is on there, Kadeem Hardison and Jasmine Guy play Alicia's parents. So if you have Audible, check out Unleashed for Love on Audible this weekend, man. Make sure you rank it, leave a review. I love seeing all the feedback that the project is getting. And the positive note of the day is simply this: set boundaries, man. Love yourself enough to set those boundaries. Your time and energy are precious, and you get to decide how you use them. You teach people how to treat you by deciding what you will and won't accept. Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.